Well, that was fun. We don't get to hear the choir much on Sunday night unless you come for choir practice. And anybody that wants to can come for choir practice. We could always use some extra voices, right? Yeah.
Amen.
All right. If you've got your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 36. Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 36. Oops, reading the wrong one. Sorry, not Luke chapter 19. There it is. Luke chapter 22, sorry. I know it was in Luke, and I was like, wait a minute, that's this morning's sermon. Did you want to hear that one again? Yeah. Luke chapter 22, starting at verse 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you that I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to the man who betrays him. And they began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. You know, the Lord's Supper appears several times in the Scripture. Over in Matthew chapter 26, it says, verse 26, while they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body. Mark chapter 14, verse 22, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we reread the story where Paul recounts this. So this is one of those key elements in the Scripture, key passages, key places that God wants us to remember. If you want to know some of the things that God thinks are really important, look for the things he repeats. And this is one of those things he repeats over and over and over again. He wants us to know what this means. And so I just want to give you a real quick overview of what the Lord's Supper should mean to us and what we should be, how I guess you should say that we should respond. The first thing I think is interesting over in Luke chapter 14, that first passage there, he says in verse 15, he said to them, I have eagerly desired to share this, to eat this Passover with you. I have eagerly desired that. You know what I think we need when we come to the communion table, when we come to the Lord's Supper, when we come to a time like this? I think we need to be that same way. We need to eagerly desire communion with the Lord. We need to eagerly desire to be in the presence of the Lord. We need to eagerly desire to share fellowship with the Lord. I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and I don't remember where it was, and I shared with them something that I've just sort of assumed for years and years. When I was sharing this with this person, and I think it was a pastor, my pastor, somebody like that, but they looked at me and said, I never thought of it that way, which is kind of fun because, you know, when you tell somebody something, they go, wow, you know, it's fun to see the light bulbs go off. And one of the things I shared was, as I've read about the Lord's Supper, it occurs to me that when Jesus says, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me, that there's several ways we can take that. Certainly there's the communal way when we share the Lord's Supper in something like this. But if you read over in 1 Corinthians, it's talking about a fellowship meal. It's talking about when they would get together for a fellowship meal on a regular basis. And, you know, it talked about some of them eating too much and some people not having enough. Well, that's certainly not an issue the way we do the Lord's Supper, is it? So really in that passage, they're talking about what we do over in the fellowship hall. They're talking about eating fried chicken and biscuits and drinking sweet tea, Reba. And, you know, all those kind of things, right? And so if we can carry that out one more place, You know, how many? I hope you, you know, say a prayer of thanks over your meals from time to time. But there's been a part of me that for years has realized that when I eat dinner, when I have a meal, there's a part of me that says, you know what? Part of this I need to do in remembrance of Christ. I need to remember, you know, sort of, if you ever read my column, one of the things I do is I try to take everyday things and just say, how does God speak to me through this? You know, like, how does God speak to me through my dog? You know, you've read some of those columns, I hope. Y'all, how many of you read my columns? I feel much better now. Thank you. When you do something like that, there's a part of you that's sort of like, you know, are you putting stuff out there? Is anybody paying attention? And you wonder. But that's one of the things that I'm reminded of, that God gave us all kinds of little reminders, little landmarks that He says to us, if you see this, remember me. You know, so when you take a walk at night and the stars are out, do you ever look up at the stars and remember God? You know, when you're taking your dog for a walk and you realize that the dog loves you even though you're not too sharp with it sometimes, do you ever think, you ever look at your dog and think, boy, I'm glad he still likes me, and then you think, boy, I'm glad God still likes me too. You ever think, you know? And it's the same way when I sit down to dinner sometimes I am reminded that every time I eat a meal of the price that God paid for me. So the Lord's Supper is certainly something we do as a group together. But it's also something that from time to time, I think you need to remember it as a family when you sit down at your table. And I know, you know, you're probably not going to break the bread and do the wine, but I hope when you remember that God has given you your daily bread and that Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And so we should remember that. And we should eagerly desire that kind of communion. We should eagerly desire that whatever we do, wherever we are in our daily lives, as we go through our lives, that things would remind us of our relationship with Christ, that things would draw us into that relationship with Christ, that we would see God in the everyday, in the exceptional and in the ordinary, in the extraordinary and in the everyday. Because God is there in all of those things. Eagerly desire communion with God. Psalm 27 verse 4 says, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. How many is that? All the days of my life. Not every other day. All the days of my life. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Is that your prayer? Do you eagerly desire that communion with the Lord? Mark 12, verse 30 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. I like the Mark version of this because it has all four. With your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. Every part of you that he could think of, he put into that verse. Because he said there shouldn't be any part of us that doesn't reach out and try to love the Lord. That we should love Him with our strength, that when we labor, we should labor as unto the Lord. That we should love Him with our minds, that we should reason together, says the Lord. That we should love Him with our heart, that we should see the world the way that He does. That we should love Him with our soul. Our entire being should beat with His heartbeat. This is communion with the Lord, and we should eagerly desire that communion. And here's the thing. Jesus said to the disciples, what? I eagerly desire to share this with you. I would say to each one of you here, Jesus eagerly desires to share that kind of communion with you each and every day. Don't ever forget that. What else do we do when we come to this point? Well, eagerly desire that communion. And then give thanks for His broken body. That's what he says. He broke the bread and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Listen to Isaiah 53. We heard it this morning, starting verse 3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, we need to remember that when Jesus went to the cross, that the beatings that he received before he got there, that the crown of thorns that was thrust upon his head, that the lashes that he took in his body, that the scorn that he received for us. He took that in our place so that we would be spared those things. Give thanks that he was broken for us. And give thanks for his shed blood. This is my blood, which is shed for you. The new covenant in my blood. Hebrews 9:22, a verse I know you've heard me say many times. The law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. If Christ had not gone to the cross, and by the shedding of blood, it doesn't mean a drop of blood. It means that his life blood poured out. He had to die for us. For the wages of sin is death. The penalty of sin is death. And we have all earned that over and over and over. And so we must remember that we owe him a debt that we can never repay. And he paid it for us so that we could know forgiveness. So eagerly desire that communion. Give thanks for his broken body. Give thanks for his blood shed for us. And then there's one more thing I would have you remember tonight and perhaps every time we come to communion. Beware the hand of the betrayer. You know, the end of that passage, let me read it again. It says verse 21, the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. As a pastor, sometimes I'm reminded that I stand in front of the congregation, often as a priest, representing God before the congregation. And that is a frightful task because I remember that when he says, the hand of my betrayer is at the table with me. And I think he's talking to me. And I think at that point he was talking specifically to Judas. But I think when I'm reminded that the Bible says over and over again, how many have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? All. And I'm reminded over in 1 John that it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So when we share the Lord's Supper, I'm reminded that all of us have a little bit of the betrayer in us, don't we? All of us want to be stronger than we are. All of us want to, I hope, want to worship the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. But sometimes we might be more interested in whether IU beat Temple than in whether we're going to serve the Lord's Supper tonight. Sometimes we're more concerned with our checkbook balance than with our balance in our heavenly accounts. Sometimes we let things get between us and God, and whenever we do that, we become the betrayer. And it's very easy for all of us to find fault in other people. But I think communion, this time when we come together to share the Lord's Supper, is for us, it's a time for us to look into ourselves. And it's a time for us to cry out to God and say, Lord, test me and try me and see if there is any wicked way in me. And to come before the Lord and to lay it out and say, Lord, I confess to you. I lay it before the cross. For Lord, only your blood can forgive my sins. Only your broken body is worthy of worship. And only by your grace am I saved. You see, this is communion. This is the Lord's Supper. This is what we share at this time. In 1 Corinthians, it says, Paul says, I received from the Lord that which I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." So if you don't mind, I'd like to, first of all, break the bread. And we're doing it a little different today. And I know somebody mentioned this morning that we're not doing it right because this isn't unleavened bread. I'm not Jewish. Let me be sure that you understand. I take sanitation seriously, so I'm putting some of that goop on my hands to make sure that you get clean bread, okay? And so I am going to break the bread, and what we're going to ask you to do is to come forward and receive the bread. And in a moment, I have a glass here. We've already poured the cups for you, but I think the symbolism of actually breaking the bread and actually pouring the glass is important. And I want to take the time to do that. And during that time, as I break the bread and as I pour the cup, I want to ask you to consider how Christ was broken for you and how his blood was poured out for you. So first, let me break the bread. And then pour the cup. Well, maybe I'll pour the cup. As we share the Lord's Supper tonight, please remember to pause for a moment. Ask the Lord to reveal to you the things that perhaps you need to confess to him tonight. Remember the price he has paid for our salvation. We're going to stop for a moment and give you a moment of silence before we do anything. And after we do that, I'm going to ask Roger to come, and he's going to share the cup with you, and I'll share the bread with you. And I'll ask you to come down the center aisle and receive the bread and the cup, and then return on the side aisles to your seats. And then we'll share them together. Okay? So let's take a moment of silent prayer, and then I'll close this. Father God, for all my sins did Christ atone. For those done in the past, for those done recently, for those I may do in the future, his blood is sufficient, and I am thankful for that gift. And Father, where we as a church, we as members of your body come together, we come before all things, seeking your face, asking you to cleanse us, to make us whole, to make us new, to wash us, Lord, whiter than snow. And Father, we receive this gift, this bread and this fruit of the vine, Lord, as precious symbols and pictures of what Christ has paid for us. And we do it with humility and thankfulness and humble hearts. And we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, Roger? You come. Thank you. In John, Jesus said, "This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." The law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. First Corinthians, you may be seated. Paul reminds us, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. After the Lord and his disciples ate the bread and drank the cup, we're told that they sang a hymn and went out. And in keeping with this tradition, we're going to sing a hymn of fellowship, and then we will be dismissed. So, I know you just sat down. Would you stand up again? Jared, would you lead us?